In the technosphere of the Andes, Lechtman explained, people solved basic engineering problems through the manipulation of fibers, not by creating and joining hard wooden or metal objects. To make boats, Andean cultures wove together reeds rather than cutting up trees into planks and nailing them together. Although smaller than big European ships, these vessels were not puddle muddlers. Europeans first encountered Tahuantinsuyu in the form of an Inca ship sailing near the equator 300 miles from its home port under a load of fine cotton sails. It had a crew of 20 and was easily the size of a Spanish caravel. Famously, the Inca used foot-thick cables to make suspension bridges across mountain gorges. Because Europe had no bridges without supports below, they initially terrified Pizarro's men. Later, one conquistador reassured his countrymen that they could walk across these Inca inventions without endangering themselves. Andean textiles were woven with great precision. Elite garments could have a thread count of 500 per inch, and structured in elaborate layers. Soldiers wore armor made from sculpted, quilted cloth that was almost as effective at shielding the body as European armor and much lighter. After trying it, the conquistadors ditched their steel breastplates and helmets wholesale and dressed like Inca infantry when they fought. Although Andean troops carried bows, javelins, maces, and clubs, their most fearsome weapon, the sling, was made of cloth. A sling is a woven pouch attached to two strings. The slinger puts a stone or slug in the pouch, picks up the strings by the free ends, spins them around a few times, and releases one of the strings at the proper moment. Expert users could hurl a stone, the Spanish adventurer Alonso Enriquez de Guzmán wrote, with such force that it will kill a horse. I have seen a stone, thus hurled from a sling, break a sword in two pieces when it was held in a man's hand at a distance of 30 paces. Experimenting with a 5-foot-long Andean-style sling and an egg-sized rock from my garden, I was able, according to my rough calculation, to throw the stone at more than 100 miles per hour. My aim was terrible, though. In a frightening innovation, the Inca heated stones in campfires until they were red hot, wrapped them in pitch-soaked cotton, and hurled them at their targets. The cotton caught fire in midair. In a sudden onslaught, the sky would rain burning missiles. During a counterattack in May 1536, an Inca army used these missiles to burn Spanish-occupied Cuzco to the ground. Unable to step outside, the conquistadors cowered in shelters beneath a relentless weeks-long barrage of flaming stone. Rather than evacuate, the Spanish, as brave as they were greedy, fought to the end. In a desperate last-ditch counterattack, the Europeans eked out victory. More critical than steel to Pizarro's success was the horse. The biggest animal in the Andes during Inca times was the llama, which typically weighs 70 pounds. Horses, 20 times as massive, were profoundly, terribly novel. Add to this the shock of observing humans somehow astride their backs, like half-bestial nightmare figures, and it is possible to imagine the dismay provoked by Pizarro's cavalry. Not only did Inca infantrymen have to overcome their initial stupefaction, their leaders had to reinvent their military tactics while in the midst of an invasion. Mounted troops were able to move at rates never encountered in Tahuantinsuyu. Even when the Indians had posted pickets, Heming observed, the Spanish cavalry could ride past them faster than the sentries could run back to warn of danger. In clash after clash, the dreaded horses proved invincible. But horses are not inherently unbeatable. The Inca simply did not discover quickly enough where they had an advantage, on their roads.